Kayak Fishing Radio, the Double L Show. We got people still coming in the chat room here, so we'll kind of take it slow in the beginning. Let everybody come on in, get a seat, and sit down and relax.
You're funny. Take it slow in the beginning. You're always slow.
Well, I don't want to miss any. I don't want anybody to miss anything. You know, what do you mean I'm always slow? Wow, I'm going to start that way already. Nice.
Sure. Come on, just say something so I can hit a button.
All right, hit a button. Don't hit too many buttons tonight. We got a lot to cover. Anyway, welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here tonight. I know we got a lot of new listeners coming in for our guest tonight. So if you guys are having trouble logging in, I do apologize. Chris is putting up there to use your Facebook or Twitter account to get in. A couple of people have told us that Twitter accounts are working a little easier than the Facebook account. So if you happen to be a tweeter, or Twitter, or whatever they say these days, go ahead and try that. But I do apologize, but guest, if you do log in, then you're able to interact with the chat room. So it makes it a little fun, a little more fun. And plus, if you got any questions, it's easier to punch them in that way. But you can also call in. The phone number is 714-816-4727. So go ahead and give us a call if you got questions, anything you'd like to share with the show tonight. We'd be glad to hear from you. So don't forget that number, 714-816-4727. So we're going to get right to it tonight. She wants to hit some buttons, so it's getting closer and closer, the boondoggle. Everybody's calendar should be marked by now. We have definitely talked about it enough.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. So check out yakangler.com/boondoggle, kayak fishing radio /boondoggle, and get all your information on the boondoggle. There's not a lot of information to give you other than come on out to Virginia Beach, October 5th through the 8th, and let's go fishing. That's what it's about. There's no registration. There's no fees. We're just all going to get together. We got 3 days to fish around here. We got plenty of salt water, fresh water, anything you want to do. I know Chet's been talking about it. We're going to throw a little fun tournament in there, a little Ronco pocket fisherman tournament. So bring your Barbie rods, your Snoopy pole, and we're going to see who can catch the biggest fish on the smallest rod. Then we're going to do a 50-50 on that, 50 back to you, and the other 50 will go to Heroes on the Water. So, but other than that, like I said, there's no tournament, there's no fees. It's just a reason for a bunch of, as Steve Chapman says there in the little sound bites, crazy kayakers to get together. So come on out, and let's do some fishing. If you need any help getting set up out here, or accommodations, or whatever the case may be, feel free to contact Chris or myself. We'll try to help you in anything we can. Tackle, equipment, what you shouldn't bring. I know the cabins are full at First Landing. There's still campsites. The campsites are, if you're not familiar with the area, the campsites are actually on the beach side. Campgrounds are on the other side of the road. But the campsites, if you're into camping and all, right on the beach side, you can drag your kayaks right over to dunes, and you can be right in the really in the Atlantic Ocean there. You're not so much in the Chesapeake Bay. You're right at the mouth of the bay. But anyway, so if you get a camping site, you're right there. We got camping sites down at the oceanfront also. Plenty of hotels. We got more hotels than you can shake a stick at around here. So there's plenty of places for everybody to stay. Prior to that event will be the TKAA charity tournament. So the week before that, it will be the 8th annual TKAA event. Another great time. Last year we had, I think we were right around 250 anglers participated in that. And that, too, is another event that raises money towards Heroes Underwater and Project Healing Waters. Very good tournament. So if you'd like to come out and hang out, maybe you can take a week off of work, do the tournament, and then stick around and do the boondoggle. But either way, we'd love to see you out here at the beach. We've got a lot of great fishing to offer that time of the year. So either way, come on out. More about TKA, you can go to tka.org to get all the tournament information, but a lot of great prizes there. The winner of the event, the Grand Slam, will be walking away with a brand new Hobie Pro Angler, And then each one of the individual species gives out a kayak too for first place. We have a youth division, female division, and a freshwater division. So you got a lot of chances there to win something, plus the raffles that we get are incredible. What do we spend, about 2-3 hours a night giving away stuff, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks for that. Yeah, we get a lot of good raffles that come with the event. So,
I
should back up. Go ahead.
Briefly, since you were talking about the boondoggle, I at this point would like to thank Aqua Dreams for coming on board as a sponsor for the boondoggle, and also
boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
You're just so proud of yourself for pushing that button. You just wait. Anyways, and on another note, we would like to thank our personal friend Mark Patterson, who sent us 8 bottles for the Boondoggle raffle of his honey. Let me tell you, I took a taste of it today. It's some of the best honey I have ever had. So bring the dollar bills for the raffle.
Yeah, we got some good people signing on, so we got a lot of more prizes coming in. We've been speaking with other people, but we'll bring that up as it gets closer. But where else can you go and paddle, fish, and take a chance on going home with some local honey? Come on now. That should be a reason enough for everybody to show up. But Mark Patterson,
it has a zing to it, too. It's got like a little something to it. I don't know. It's really good.
Well, we do thank you, Mark. If you're listening tonight, we know you're one of our loyal fans but dysfunctional login people. So I don't know if you're out there or not, but if you are, Mark, thank you. He always has trouble getting on, but trouble.
I just want to clarify, this is the kind of honey that comes from the bee kind. You know, the buzzing fella, you know, because people are making jokes now. Not the other kind of honey. Honey, the eating kind. Jeez.
Yeah. Now our guests are already getting a taste of the chat room if those guys have logged in. I hope you guys have been able to get logged in. The chat room goes on its own little tangents at times. Even though the show will keep moving, I don't know what goes on in that chat room. But anyway, so yeah, PKA event, I covered that. There's a couple other local, well, not really local. Yeah, I guess they're local. Tournaments coming up, and they're really before the events I already mentioned. Just for guys to mark their calendar, the Chesapeake Bay Kayak Anglers is having their second annual charity event. And that's September the 7th, 9th, and 10th. For more information, you go to Chesapeake Bay KayakAnglers.com, and that's way up in the bay. Everybody gets, but that's up there towards the Annapolis area. And then coming up real close, I believe, August 4th, is the Hook, Line, and Paddle Tournament down at Fort Fisher, down in the Wrightsville Beach area. But that's a great event. I did the first one of that, and I think they're on their third or fourth year. It's a lot of fun. I know we got a couple of local people here going down to fish that event, put on by Hook, Line, and Paddle Store. But go check that out, hooklineandpaddle.com. Just in case you're looking for a tournament. If you haven't fished a tournament locally in a while and you got to get out there, those are a couple that I'm aware of that are getting ready to happen. I believe the NCKFA's got one coming up too, so should get Mark to call in sometime and let us know what's going on with the North Carolina kayak guys. But anyway, so that's what we got for tournaments coming up that I'm aware of. Like always, you guys got anything you want us to spread the word on, please feel free to call or send us an email so we can spread, let everybody know what's going on. I know that New Jersey one's coming up. I don't know if Matt's in the room tonight, but Matt, if you're there, put up the link to yours coming up for the New Jersey How chapter. So let's move along so we can get to our guest here. What you got?
I'm just laughing. We only have one Tom. We're pretty good to go.
Well, you got all your usual... Usual suspects.
Yep, somebody just asked, Tom, where's your plumper twin?
Oh, man. Again, to our guest, I apologize. This is your first time tuning into our show, but we have a weekly band of clowns that join, and cause a whole bunch of fun in the chat room, so that's what Chris is talking about. We got two Toms that are too much sometimes. Two Toms too much, but they're here as always. So I'll
no,
check some fishing
only one.
Report.
We only got one, not the other. There, we only got the Tom without the H tonight.
Oh, the two, yeah.
The one where the name is easier to say, Vonderheiden.
There you go. All right, so we got our fishing report from Get Outdoors, courtesy of Philip Ruckert. Phil's been on time every week sending us a report for the North Carolina area. We thank you, Philip, for that. So what you got saying here? Am I echoing?
No, you sound good.
Okay. He said that the Neuse River to Pamlico Sound holding pattern is not much has changed from last week. So if you guys don't remember what I said last week, because I sure don't remember, but anyway, he said it's pretty much the same old drum up on the shoals and upper sound. Morehead City area puppy drum have been harder to locate in numbers lately. Water temps up in the 90s in some of the bays. It's getting hot. I don't know if anybody saw this tonight, but in, what did I say that was, Massachusetts, a guy caught a 45-inch red drum in Massachusetts. So if that tells you anything of how warm the water temperatures are, here in Virginia, we're pretty much at the most northern point for red drums. So Massachusetts is a little ways further north from here. So a 45-inch drum, yeah, so that gives you kind of an idea of where the water temperatures are. All going back to we had never really had a winter this year. So all of us in the hurricane belt, you probably ought to start picking up your supplies soon, too, because I got a feeling it's going to get worse before it gets better with that water temperatures out there. But anyway, water temps up in the 90s. Yeah, flounder sheep's head have been in the talk for anglers finding them around pilings, and the port wall was drifting baits over holes among the ICW. This kind of goes in conjunction, though, if any of you are traveling down to the hook, line, and paddle. Hook, line, and paddle tournament. That's going to be those are the areas we're talking about now. And then he says on the freshwater side, afternoon lightning and thunderstorms, easy for me to say, setting off numerous house fires have been occurring almost daily. I don't know what that has to do with fishing, but just to let you know there's bad weather out there. Like we're going through a good storm here now, and I know some other people are. So, but anyway, keep your eye on the sky is what I guess Philip's getting to on that. So thunderstorms. Anyway, the weekend was tough bite. So apparently that's where he's going with that. He had a tough weekend. Texas rigged worms and cranks were working well. Water temperatures in the upper 80s in the lakes also. And he's got an upcoming, the upcoming hook, line, and paddle tournament that I already mentioned, Philip, that here. So thanks, Philip, and everybody down at Get Outdoors. Great bunch of guys over there. They got a lot going on in their store. So if you guys are in the Greensboro area, go check out Get Outdoors. All right, locally here, we're probably in the same kind of patterns. The summer, same old, everything is good. We had a pretty wet weekend this weekend, so we didn't really make it out much. Chris and I did get to travel to a freshwater encampment, I'll call it, but we went out there to kind of do some networking with some individuals about some upcoming Heroes on the Waters, Wounded Warrior events and things, so had a great time with that, but we didn't do any saltwater fishing, did get to do some freshwater fishing. But locally, the puppy drum bite's been getting better, I've been noticing. Speckled trout still really good. Sheep's head, spades around the bridge. Flounder are getting better, too. I've seen a lot better flounder catches coming in. So everything's pretty much the same here. Like I said, we had a wet weekend. Take a couple days, a couple tide turns to get that water cleaned up. But other than that, usual summertime suspects out there, just kind of goes along with what Philip just said, though. But these afternoon pop-up storms are happening more and more, so be careful when you go out. But other than that, like I said, there's really nothing changed here locally. I've noticed it's been pretty cool to see, though. I've noticed a lot of the catches that have been put up here lately more and more becoming artificials. I've seen a lot of mirror lures, a lot of jig heads with gulps and plastics used, so That's pretty cool to see a lot of guys and a lot of release catches. So, especially with those drum, I know everybody's excited here locally. And if you're listening and you live around here, you already know the puppy drum are kind of out there. they're smaller this year. We had a couple of years of no reds inshore, but you know, let's let them go. I know they're good eating, but we got to get our numbers back up here. I attribute that too to that warmer weather. We had, you know, they're cyclic fish every 2 to 3 years, then they go offshore. So a lot of it 2 to 3 years ago, they might not have had a good spawn, but we're seeing good numbers now. So it's pretty exciting, and it should be really exciting because come closer to the fall, the boondoggle and the TKA event, they're going to be getting on the chew. So they're going to be starting to fatten up for their wintertime migration. So it looks pretty exciting for this area. I'm happy to see it. So these mini pups are funny. Yeah. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of small reds out there, but we got to have small reds to get big reds. So put them back in, let them grow, catch them another day. All right, what else we got? Chris, you still here or are you still in the bubble?
No, I'm here. I'm here. Just briefly, we have a new listener, Orlando. He's listening in, and maybe he'll have an opportunity towards the latter part of the show to introduce himself, just check who he was. So, first time listener.
Well, welcome. Well, welcome. Yeah, chat room's getting pretty good tonight. We're up to 19. I mentioned at the top of the 20.
Oh, God, here 20. Comes the other Tom.
All right. Mentioned at the top of the show, if you missed it, if you just logged in, hopefully you have not been trying, and you can try to use your Facebook or Twitter account so you can join this chat room that's going on here or be able to get to our guest here shortly. And if you got any questions for them, you can put them up in the chat room, or you can always call in at 714-816-4727. So give us a call. Let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods, or got anything for our guest tonight, which our guest tonight, I guess we're about there. I'm going to get done running my mouth about all that's local. I don't think I missed anything. If I did, somebody in the chat room, spit it out. Let me know what I missed. If you got something I should have shared, please let me know. But, yeah, so tonight's guest, a couple weeks ago, and I've said this a couple weeks in a row now because the past few shows have all been what you guys wanted to hear and who you wanted to have on the show, and our guest tonight was another one of our fans, we'll call it, or our loyal listeners recommended. And I didn't know these guys were out there. I'll be quite honest. I didn't realize what they were doing. And then after I found out about them, I've been watching their videos and checking out their websites. And it's pretty crazy. It's pretty wild, pretty amazing stuff these guys are doing. You guys go check out. We'll put up the links in the chat room. But they're using the Hobie Islanders, and they're going offshore fishing. They're fishing off of these things, and crazy. You got to go check them out. You got to watch their videos. I'm going to put up the link now to their website, and you go check them out. They're going to share with us all the different places they are. These guys got more websites than anybody I knew. Every time I'd click a link, I'd find another link, but they're doing a lot of good stuff out there. Like I said, I was unaware of it. Once I found out about it, I've been watching them, checking it out, and it seems pretty cool. It seems like something even in this area we could probably do, go out to the light tower or whatever. But anyway, without any more, I'm going to introduce our guest tonight. We got Daniel Pham. Am I saying that right, Daniel?
Yes, sir. You're saying that right, baby.
All right. And we got Efren Ruiz.
Ruiz.
See, I knew I screwed up one of them. That was my goal tonight. It's like Tom Mittal in the chat room. I used to mess his name up all the time, too. But anyway, welcome, guys, and thank you for giving up some of your Tuesday night to join us here on the show, and we're looking forward to it. Everybody doing? You guys doing all right down there? Texas is nice and chilly this time of year.
Yes, I am freezing in my shorts.
Yeah. You're probably averaging triple digits every day down there, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's double digits and triple digits once in a while. But you know what? I like this hot weather. I'm Asian, and we Asians just love this hot weather. It's like hot and hot meets hot, which equals hot. So I like it.
Well, very cool. Well, I'm glad you're comfortable down there then. I don't mind the heat either, but I'm not Asian. But, yeah, I enjoy the heat too. I'll take the hot over the cold any day. Well, very cool. All right, so we already talked at the top of the show because I got the two of you, and I can already tell that the two of you are going to be on point the rest of the night. So we're going to have to make sure that we don't step all over each other. So I'm going to start with Daniel on this one, and then I'll get to you, Efren. So, Daniel, just real briefly, what got you into this form of fishing, checking these Hobies out, and, you know, how did you get involved in all that, taking these, are they catamarans, are they sailboats, are they Mirage drives? I mean, those things got everything on them, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to say, what up, Virginians? How y'all doing?
All right, people to my heart with a sense of humor.
Hey, it's all good in the hood over here. You know, we in Texas. I'm in Katy, and Efren's in who knows where he's at. He's in BFE. Actually, he's in Beaumont area. So, same thing. We're still
it all means BFE to Chris and I. We don't know. We've never been to Texas, so you can tell us you're from anywhere in Texas, and we'll believe you.
Well, what got me started in this thing was I started kayak fishing in 2005, and I was just fishing on regular sit-on top. My first kayak was a Hobie Outback Hank Parker edition, and I was basically just fishing off of the beach and fishing at the end of the jetties, and I was already called BTB fishing, Beyond the Breaker. We launch on the beach, and we try to go past the breakers. Hopefully we don't fall off or the breakers knock us off, and we turtle, and we got a whole yard sale out there for everyone to pick up and take ownership of. But anyway, I've been fishing since 2005. I've been in and out of different varieties of kayaks, ocean kayaks, Cobra kayaks, Malibus, you name it. And I ended back up with the first kayak that I started with, which was Hobie. And ended up with a Hobie Adventure Island two years ago. And I spoke with Efren. He was my fishing partner back then. And I spoke to him and said, hey, let's just do this together. Let's get Adventure Islands and let's go offshore fishing. And Adventure Islands are, they're not catamarans, but they can be. They're actually trimarans. They're three. They're three kayaks. They're three pieces. And they got a sail to them. So it's basically three sports in one.
That's right, because you're sailing, you got the Mirage, you got it all going on there.
Oh, yeah, you got the Mirage drive to pedal you, and the Mirage drive is pretty good because they come with these turbo fins, that's what they're called, and it's almost like riding a mountain bike. You're just pedaling, and I must say I probably lost about 40, 50 pounds since I've been doing this. I used to be a heavyweight lover. But, I love kayak fishing. I got into it is to mainly get good exercise and good health, and I just enjoy the fishing aspect of it. But we go out there pretty far offshore. We go about 6 to 9 miles offshore. We fish oil rigs. We could fish rig platforms, gas rigs. We fish underwater structure. And later on, we'll let y'all know what equipment and stuff, and I'll let Efren tune in on all that stuff because he's a technical guy and he likes to show off all his expensive reels. You know me, I only bought one expensive reel. I've been getting away with these cheap reels all this year, and I actually learned my lesson a couple of months and years ago, or whatever. I don't know which one's which, but you know, I'm Asian. What can you say? Anyways, back then I had these cheap reels. I was out there. My reel broke. I caught a big fish. My rod also broke. And I was learning my lesson. So ever since then, I got some quality stuff. Now, the reel I have now is I have two reels that I take out. One is the Avid LX, which was pretty expensive to me. It's pretty expensive. That's nothing to Efren because, you know, he that's nothing to him. He's got like
$50,000. He got the money. Is that from the guy you talked to about the? He's a big dog, huh?
Yeah, he is. He's big dog.
All right, well, Daniel, you need to get off now. Let's talk to Efren for a minute. I want to talk to the money. No, I'm just joking. Very cool. I want to talk to the guy with the money. All right, so Efren, tell us about what was your take on this. Now it sounds like he kind of suckered you into it, but then on the other side, it sounds like you definitely have a playing part in this whole thing. So. Were you all for it and everything, getting in these, I don't know what to call them, the Islander, I guess we'll just call it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, me and him, in fact, the way I met Daniel was through a website here in Texas that's called Texas Kayak Fishermen. And we met up there, and I was looking to find or meet up with new people to go fishing because I just got into the kayak fishing aspect of fishing. And he happened to need a ride because his car happened to break down, and my car happened to be four-wheel drive, and we could get to this one particular beach down here that requires four-wheel drive. So I contacted him and said, hey, if you need a ride, I'll give you a ride. And we met up that particular day. We went fishing. And with a little bit of, you know, chatting back and forth, we discovered that, you know, I didn't really know too much about Daniel, but he already had, like, a little YouTube presence out there. He was kind of like a little local YouTube celebrity, so to speak, you know, doing his thing. And when I found out that he was doing that, I realized that I could probably, you know, and I brought up to his attention and said, hey, maybe I could maybe get together and we can work on something, you know, with these videos that you're doing. I can help you out. And so we did that. We did like one or two videos on our back on these sit-on-top kayaks back at that year. And then right around that, the winter time came around when we just weren't doing much fishing around this area. And we were thinking, I can't remember why, but I know I was thinking about buying a new kayak at the time. And we brought up the idea of maybe getting this Adventure Island, you know, like just take it to a whole new level. And one of the reasons I know that Adventure Islander trimaran kayak came into our minds because there was this guy out of California. He was doing something similar to what we're doing, but he was fishing out of the San Francisco Bay. And so we thought about it, you know, a little bit longer, and then it's like, let's do it, you know. And we started making plans for getting the Adventure Islanders. So by the spring of the following year, we got them, and we rigged them up. And, you know, the rest is history, as they say.
All right. Okay, so I'm familiar with Hobie. I'm familiar with the Mirage Drive and all that. So what is the actual Hobie hull that you're using with all the other – what is that Hobie that you're sitting on? Is that – what model is that?
Is that's that a, the Adventure, the Hobie Adventure.
That is the Adventure, so that's not a separate Hobie in itself. I mean, that's a separate Hobie on itself. It's not the Outback or any of those that Hobie makes for the fishing sit on top, correct?
Correct. It's right. You could go and get an Adventure by itself, no sail, no AMAs or outriggers, as some people refer to them, and you just have a straight sit on top kayak, 16 foot long, with the, you know, Mirage Drive and so forth in the rudder. But if you go get an Adventure Island with for the money that you pay for, you're going to get the outriggers, the AMAs, the sail, the larger rudder, the Mirage Drive, and a couple of other little things that just set it apart from the actual Adventure kayak.
Okay, somebody in the chat room, and I'm going to do this all night to you, I'm sure, and just to let you know because questions are going to run in. So somebody wants to know what's that setup run. So the full Monty, I want to go out and I want to hit 9 miles or whatever it is you cats are doing. What's that setup going to run?
Currently, the retail price is I think about $3,700 for the sail, the AMAs or outriggers, your rudder, the Mirage Drive, and some little bitty tidbits here and there. You get like some covers and some bags to put some equipment in, that sort of stuff.
Okay. Somebody's putting in here sailing rudder and turbo fins. All right. Well, very cool. $3,700. Gotcha. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I have heard that price before doing demo days. I've seen people at the demo days purchasing them, and I knew they were around that much. But that's a pretty hefty little tag to pay. So I'm just going to keep asking my own questions because, like I said at the top of the show, you guys really interest me, and not that I'm getting out of my native kayaks, but just for questions and answers. How is it to pedal that when you have your – what did you call the outriggers or the two pontoons on the sides?
The AMAs, right.
How is that pedaling?
It's not – that's one of my concerns I had because when I first tested out mine, when I went to sell it for the very first time, it actually moves with everything rigged on, the AMAs and the sail, and as heavy as it is, it actually with the turbo fins, it actually moves quite agilely through the water. And even when we're offshore, when we've got all of our gear, our ice, our fishing rods, our tackle boxes, and throw in a couple of fish in there and say the wind calmed down for a moment and you need to pedal around and do what you got to do, it still moves pretty agilely. It ain't going to be no, you know, it's definitely not like a 10-mile-per-hour speed, but, hey, you want a constant speed, it's going to move. It's going to get you where you got to go.
Very cool. Another thing is, and I put up the links to one of your videos, and I think it's the video that I watched. What was pretty cool, and I don't know if it was you or Daniel, but you were offshore, and you were, like, walking around over there on the, what's that, fabric piece that goes between the kayaks. I'm going to sound like such an idiot here tonight, but that the fabric pieces that go between the sides. He was, like, climbing around on there, reeling the fish in, climbing over to the other side, and I thought that was pretty interesting. What is that? You know what I'm talking about? Help me. Work with me here, guys. Work with me.
Absolutely. That's the that's what they call
that's
the
trampoline.
The trampoline?
Yeah.
The tramp. You get to take a tramp out on the water. Now, that's see, you guys
are... See, Efren likes those tramps. I don't use those tramps. They're just not for me.
You don't like tramps? Well, that's good. You must be...
I use ladders.
Your wife must be listening tonight.
Yeah, the video... The video you saw with the person, you know, running around, jumping around the trampoline, that's me. I'm the one that uses the tramps on my Adventure Island. And I got them ever since I owned the Adventure Island. And to me, at first, when I first got them, I wasn't all that sure. I just didn't feel all that secure about, you know, putting my weight on it and so forth. But eventually, I tested them out, and I got on them. I like to sit on them. I like to sit up on the bars, and I can slide up and down. I've never stood on them. But I tend to, you know, some people might look at them and be like, hey, you know, that's kind of a problem when you're fishing, you know, and it can be if you just stay in the seat. And, of course, if you look at Daniel's, if you're paying attention to the videos, you'll notice Daniel kind of sits or kind of just stays towards the center of his kayak, and he brings in the outrigger. He pulls it in, and now, of course, that allows him to land the fish. But me personally, I like to move around and just fish from different spots on those trampolines.
Does all of that get in the way when you're fishing, catching, landing, fighting big fish? I mean, do you have problems? It seems like there's a lot going on there.
For me, it doesn't. I use it to my advantage, and that's one of the reasons, like I said, I move around. And, of course, as wide as this kayak is and these different positions you can move into, you got to have some agility. You got to have a little bit of a physical ability to move around and move quickly, especially with some of these fish that just, you know, hey, they might just do a fast run and they'll go into the kayak, and guess what? You got to change position. You got to jump to the other side and so forth. So to me, I don't find it I don't seem to have a problem with it at all.
So it's not for the fluffy fishermen, right?
No, I don't recommend it. That unless you're fluffy and you can move around quickly, go for it.
Very cool. All right, I guess this is a question for you because it doesn't. Do you fish local rivers or the bay? They fish out in the open. If this is a question for you, you guys just fish out in the ocean, right? The bay, I guess. The ocean, the sand. I mean.
Well, when we normally fish the Gulf of Mexico here, and when the times are, you know, just. Times the winds are not ideal, or the water's not ideal for us. I'll fish. Here in Texas, there's a lake called Sabine Lake. It's actually a very wide river, and it's salty. And so I like to go there when the winds are up, and I just want to sail, or sometimes there's an opportunity to fish out there. I like to go out there, and there's actually rigs in this lake, and you can go out there. Just it's kind of like a mock version of going out offshore, but on a lake. Where the water's a little bit calmer, but you can just get just as good as the wind, go out there and anchor up on these rigs just like you would offshore, and then you can fish for some flounder on the bottom, maybe some wrens that are hanging around, or heck, you can even troll for speckled trout out there.
Oh, really? Somebody wants to know, so how fast do they go? I guess that's all relative to the winds and the seas and all that too, though.
Mine, I don't have a regular Adventure Island. I have a Tandem Island, baby, and that sucker goes 14 knots. But you know what? That's crazy. That's like wind in your face with a big fire hydrant in your face as well, because you're going to get wetter than wet.
So the Tandem, that's what earlier in the chat room, the TI, so that's the $5,000 model.
Yeah, that's right. See, I don't waste all my money on these reels. I buy the real deal. You know what I'm saying, baby?
You buy the real boat, but then you lose all your fish because you bought the cheap equipment.
Well, that's true, but, you know, at least I'm having some fun out there, some kind of fun.
Gotcha.
I just provide the entertainment.
I guess,
well, what I'd like to say also is me and Efren, we're on the on a serious note, we are on the Hobie fishing team. We're on the local team member as pro staffs, so just want to put that out. And also ACK is our sponsor, and also Hobie, so just want to throw that out, give them a little shout out.
Oh,
ACK
definitely.
Is Austin,
yeah.
Austin Canoe and Kayak.
Oh, I know the store. That's one of the biggest kayak canoe stores in the country. So I definitely know that's where a mutual, our next week's guest, Ty, that's part of the reason. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. Austin's a pretty good store. All right, well, I'm getting a lot of pressure here, guys, because everybody wants us to invite you to the boondoggle that we're having in October. So I know Texas and Virginia is a long ways away. And I don't know how much money it would cost for you to haul those kayaks and all that gear you guys have. But it would be pretty cool if you guys ever thought about it. Get on a plane. I don't know. We could probably find some Hobie help to get you on. You might have to fish on a regular sit-on top. I don't know if we can get you rigged up with all the boat that you're used to fishing out of. But
what's a boondoggle?
A boondoggle. Were you listening to the top of the show? You're playing around, weren't you? You weren't even
boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Yes, let's get boony with it.
Sean says guys could take, you know, you guys are familiar with Sean Russell. I know you know Sean. Sean's in the chat room. He said you guys can just take the oceans. Yeah, you guys can just put in at the Gulf and come on around Florida and bring it up the coast. You can do like a little tour.
There you go.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, when
I go. There you go. I'm not doing it. I'm going to keep my happy butt right here. I'm not. I'll make sure you get a Spotify. I'll do that for you. You guys do that. I'll make sure you get a spot for your kayak so we can keep track of you here on Kayak Fishing Radio. We'll keep the progress of the trip going, and you guys tell us how it worked out when you land here in Virginia Beach for the boondoggle. But I'm not
awesome.
Going with you.
Contact the World Guinness Book of World Records, too, while y'all at it, because we're going to hit that record, baby.
All right. We want to see it. You can land right here. The problem is you got to come around Hatteras. We used to have for years. I don't know. Well, wait, which one of you used to fish in the Outer Banks? I read your bios. Which one of you used to fish in the Outer Banks?
I did, Efren.
All right. Well, you're not far at all from, I mean, you're right down the street from Virginia.
That's right.
So you were, how long were you in this side of the world?
About 5 years.
In the military?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, very cool. Well, then. You're right down the street, so you know what it's like to fish over here. It's all similar waters.
Actually, it's very different. That's one of the things when I was stationed over there and I finally got a chance
to kind
of
similar Virginia Beach.
Coast. Oh, okay.
I meant Virginia Beach similar to Outer Banks. Yeah, not your Texas.
Texas.
I knew that.
No, that's way different, you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Hey, you can – when Daniel makes it over there to that boondoggle, you need to change the name to Boondoggle Ogle. Daniel
Boondoggle Ogle.
Why is that?
Daniel will be the ogle.
Oh.
Oh. Are you trying to crack a funny joke, Efren? Because it's not very funny.
I can imagine a day on the water. Well, if anybody watches your videos, you'll see how much you guys cut up. Mr. Clean, I watched that video the other day with Mr. Clean at the gas pump, and you guys you make it a lot of fun. Well, no, you ought to, seriously. I don't know. I know it's a long ways to go. Long ways to go and all that, but that would be pretty cool. We're trying to get Sean back out here. Sean came out a couple months ago for an event, and it'd be cool to have you guys back out here come over here on the East Coast and do some fishing with us. Like I said, it's not that far from the Outer Banks, so you know what that's like. All right, so what's the furthest distance?
It would be some serious nostalgia for me.
Yeah, so I know. It's not easy just to load up and come to Virginia. It's not that. But the invite's there, guys, and if you want to come out here, we'll make sure you get on a plane. We'll get you kayaks. Like I said, I can't guarantee we'll get you the kayaks you're accustomed to, but if you can get on, if you get on a plane, you make it out here, we'll make sure you get a boat, and we'll put you on the water and come do some fishing with us.
All right.
Cool. That
right,
sounds
so
cool.
Yeah, we'll get you. All right, so I got a question in the chat room. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, this one's – well, we got a whole bunch. What's the biggest fish that you've caught out of your adventure? So go ahead. Daniel, tell me what the biggest fish is, because with your cheap gear, it's got to be an accomplishment. So you go ahead
well,
and tell me what's the biggest
I've
fish
you've
caught.
I've got a lot of big fish stories, but they've obviously got lost to my equipment. Well, the biggest fish I have landed.
Yeah, landed.
Probably,
we want to know landed. Yeah, landed.
Right.
Not that you saw swimming away with half your pole, but landed into
the I thought I caught the mother lode one day when I was out there. I brought in this. I was real close to this rig. I was jigging it. I was trying to catch, you know, some jewelfish or cobia or whatever's down there. Big jaws, big willy. Anyway. I brought in a kingfish that was probably 51 or 52 inches, something like that. That would be my biggest fish, but my plan is to catch a big sailfish and a billfish or whatever. And that's I want to bring that or a tarpon. That's the one I want to catch on video. But Efren, he got lucky and he caught himself a nice sized cobia. You might want to ask him about that.
Well, first off, somebody in the chat room saying, where's the pick? We got a thing up here. If we don't get a pick, it ain't a catch. You better get a pick.
Oh, it's in the video, I think.
That's right.
I just have to figure out which one.
Sure.
We do.
You can
photos.
Talk all you want. You can talk all you want, but photos definitely prove it. So.
If we can go, what do you call it? Kayak waters. They're there. Kayak waters.
Okay. You guys, yeah, I read that too. You guys are in kayak waters. Very cool. You were what? 1 year first place, couple years second. Is that true, Rick?
Yeah. Now we're in one of the first 1 to 3 first place, something like that in Cairo. It's a free tournament, and we're just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
But all my picks are there.
Mark and I are fishing on a kayak wars team.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are. We're not
we're
in your division, and now I'm glad we're not.
Oh,
now
we are in the. Fresh water, y'all gonna blow us out because I have no idea how to fresh water. All I know is you put a worm on a hook and you
we don't do,
try to hold
wait
on
a
to your
back
life.
Back up. Now I'm gonna have to pull your cards. No, we don't do any fresh. We're saltwater. We don't do any. We live at the Atlantic
Ocean.
We're saltwater
people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I thought y'all Virginians fish fresh water.
We were doing pretty good there for a while, but then you said that fresh water thing.
We don't know.
Knock you down enough.
You're right about the worms. I take my 11-year-old freshwater fishing. I'll bring the worms, but that's about the extent of it.
That's right. Freshwater's for drinking.
Okay.
Bathing.
Right on.
All right. So, I was backing up because you said sailfish. You got sailfish in the Gulf?
Yes, we have sailfish in the Gulf, but with our sail kayaks, they seem to, like, repel us because they know we are the competition. We're like males against males, and they just don't want to hang out with other males. It's not like that.
So you haven't had a chance to hook up is what you're trying to say, but you're trying to make it like it's a fish's fault.
Yes. I've been trying for a long time, but I will get one day.
That's right. Oh, I hope you do, man, and we'll look forward to seeing the pictures. All right, Efren, what's your biggest fish out of your Islander?
About 48, if I remember correctly, it was a 48-inch cobia off of a rig. And most of my kingfish average about 40 inches.
Wow. Now, how close do you get? Do you guys get, like, what do you troll around the rigs most of the time, just kind of using the mirage thing, or what do you think?
My tactic when it comes to the rigs, I like to make one pass by it trolling, whatever it is I happen to be trolling. If nothing takes it, then I'll turn around, you know, pick up my stuff, and then either anchor up around it if it's possible, or if not, you know, hook up next to it wherever possible, and then and then fish it. I personally try not to, I don't want to get too technical with it, but, just try to hook up the way there where I try to say hook up, and Daniel will do this too. It's just a matter of if there's enough real estate and not to get in a position so where if you do hook up into a big fish and you got to unhook from the rig itself, you don't want to be, slamming into the rig again. You want that current to take you away and to kind of help you pull that fish away from that rig.
I got you. Somebody wants to know, are you guys live baiting or artificial when you're out there?
We like to do both. In fact, I kind of like the challenge of artificial versus fresh or dead bait or live bait. And, of course, for us, I don't have any special equipment to carry live bait anyway. I don't have, like, a live well. That's just
all that stuff you got on that kayak, you don't have a live well?
Nope. We
do have your tramp carry it. You got to have your tramp carry it.
Nah, that's
we got a refrigerator.
Yeah, we got a refrigerator on that thing.
That'll probably be the next thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't have a live well, but I do carry 40 pounds of ice.
No, but seriously, when we go out there, if we want to catch live bait, we bring a sabiki rig, and we just sabiki down there. We go, sabiki, 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 and then all of a sudden, we got a bunch of little fish on these hooks, and we bring them up, and we just use them as they are, and we just don't know where to put them after that. We just throw them back in the water if there's too many.
You ever hear of a bait bucket?
Is that what that is? That's why I say I'm Asian. I don't know these things.
Oh, see, there's so many jokes, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut right now. I just met you. I don't want to. I'm going to leave that one alone, and we're just going to step away from it. Okay, so moving on. Somebody wants to know how far out are the rigs that we're talking about right now. So what's the average rig?
The average distance for us is about 4 to 5 miles for a good portion of these. As we explore the Texas coast for further down south, they tend to be there's like, I know, like if you go down to the Corpus Christi area, which is further south from where we're currently fishing out of, there tends to be a lot of rigs closer within that 2 to 3 mile range, but there seems to be a lot of clusters within that 5 to 7 mile range here on the Texas coast.
5 to 7?
Right.
And you don't always... go ahead.
Hey, I'll go.
This
is Daniel, by the way. Deep Ams in the house, baby! Anyway, I just had to get that out of my system. Sorry. Okay, the farthest we have gone so far to this day is 9.5 or 10 miles, Efren. I don't remember.
Nine and a half.
Okay, 9.5. So we almost made it to federal waters, but guess not. We didn't have to do that one of these days.
All right, so on these wrecks, well, hopefully you will, on these wrecks, do you – always know what you're targeting? I mean, I watch fishing shows on these wrecks, and I know guys will be, there's tuna on a wreck, or there's jacks, or what, I mean, can you see them, or are you guys just kind of going out there, and hey, today we're going to catch a fish, and you're just trolling, like you said, or whatever, around?
For the most part here in the Texas coast here, where we're fishing out of, it's a lot of it, as far as we get out, the most common thing out there is kingfish and cobia. There are some red snappers out there. We try to use a technique that's going to target, per se, like the cobia or the snapper. And we do get lucky with – we haven't caught a whole lot of snapper just yet or very big ones. We've caught, small ones here and there, but the most common thing we do catch around here is kingfish and cobia. And when we get out there, we do have some technique that we try specifically for these fish. Sometimes we try just different stuff, and sometimes we pull up some stuff we didn't expect, but nothing huge. And I know as the further south we go in the Texas coast, we'll get into more like snappers and more, because of the wrecks and the artificial rigs that they have more of down south.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna. Can either of you see the chat room, or were you ever able to make it in or not? No.
I'm in the chat room, but I can't seem to post up anything. I can see it though.
You can see it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you see everybody's joking right now because they want to know what you guys drink in Texas. They think you're drinking Zimas and Smirnoff, ice cold Smirnoff. So we'll let that go. So they wanted to know what you were drinking. But then back to the fishing topic was somebody wanted to know, are you using, you don't have live wells. We've determined that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can already, this is going to be for you, Efren, because I know Daniel wouldn't spend the money on a fish finder. If somebody wanted to know if you were using fish finders out there. So do you have a fish finder on, or you guys use any of that bottom machine?
No, we're not using any fish finders right now. However, I did put some money into an offshore, what do they call it, a Navionics. And I have it on my computer, and I have it on a GPS fish finder. And it's good to measure the distance out to these rigs. And then depending on the location where we're fishing, it actually indicates some of these wrecks and these artificial reefs within that range that we can fish. And I did think about getting a Lowrance fish finder at one time or another because of the down scanning image that they've got,
right,
or whatever.
Sonar. Side sonar.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right, the side sonar effect. And I thought that was kind of cool because you could, like, you know, sail up to a rig, scan it around, you know, and be like, hey, there's something here, there's not, let's move on. But as I read more and more, there's guys out there that have Adventure Islanders, and they are using it, they were using it, but eventually they took them off because they were having issues with water splashing on them. And then, of course, I heard somewhere one guy, he was giving his review, and he said it was just like one, it's really nice to have, but it's just extra bells and whistles to have on your kayak that kind of gets you a little distracted. And then with my situation, the way I like to bounce around the trampolines and fighting the fish, I thought about, like, where would be a good place to put this thing and not have it get in the way and, you know, either hit your head up on it or break it off or something of that nature. And in the end, I just decided to scratch the whole idea and just go the way I'm going now, which is fish finder free.
I got you. Yeah, well, I don't know because I don't do any offshore fishing out of the kayak. Inshore, it's kind of a valuable tool at times when you're looking for drop-offs and ledges and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what it would be like. Somebody mentioned that it might help you with your sailfish because you can find. I don't know. I'm not going to attest to that because, like I said, I don't do any of that in the kayak. I know in the boat it makes a big difference because, again, like you're saying, you can definitely see what's below you. You can see the humps and mounds, and if you got any, you know, wrecks or anything like that, you're fishing over top of, letting you know right when you're over top of them. As far as putting one on your boat, I don't know. Somebody, Sean, saying he got a Hummingbird 798 SI for his Adventure Islander. So, yeah.
Right, and there's I thought about it, and the possibilities as far as the benefits of helping us fish and find those fish and structures and so forth would be great, but in the end, like I said, for me, it was a matter of, like, where can I put this thing without me knocking it off or hitting it, and just, like, and is it going to get in my way when I have to do what I got to do to fight these fish at once we do find them?
Right. Well, very cool. Any more questions in the chat room? They really want to know what y'all are drinking down there, so whether you are or not, you better just give it to them. Tell them straight up.
We're drinking Alkaline water.
Alkaline water.
No, don't get Efren started, please.
No, you started it. Go ahead. We don't have to talk all fishing.
No, but all seriously, though, this offshore fishing stuff that we do is dangerous, and we go by all the safety. We practice safety like if it was our back of our finger or something. We wear life vests. We have VHF radios. We go in groups. We also have, seventh sense of humor that we let these fish know that we are around. So, yeah, we have practiced all these safety measures, and we even have a measuring tape just to measure our safety.
How far does that go?
That's only so many inches, you know. But what do you? What do I know? I'm Asian, so.
Is Rob Choi in the room tonight, guys? Is Rob Choi here?
No.
Rob? Okay. You guys familiar with Rob Choi? Are you guys? Do you guys know who Rob Choi is?
Yes, I know who Rob Choi is. What up, Rob Choi?
Apparently, he's not tuned in tonight.
That
but...
is my another mother from my brother of another cousin.
Yeah, Rob. Rob's a good close. Good friend of both Chris and I's, and half of the listeners in the show here tonight are all we're all good friends. And Rob Fish is right here in our waters, and we have a lot of fun with his Korean descent also. So
you be pretty, nice.
I'm glad.
We're kinfolk. We are kinfolk, baby.
Well, I'll be sure to tell Rob that I had his cousin on the show tonight, and he needs to download the podcast so you guys can bond. You can bond in a little bit there with the radio show.
I don't think
all right,
Tom Matush is believing him. Tom Matush is saying, Mark, if you don't get them to tell us what they're drinking, I will never listen again.
I told them to make up something, but they're too busy talking about the Visine in their water or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Seriously, though, guys, I don't drink because if I do drink, it's almost like Hegel and Jekyll and then... I don't drink alcohol at all.
We'd be hitting the mute button a lot, huh?
Yeah, I've seen what happens.
No, not really the mute button. It's just,
I'm just playing.
I don't drink or smoke. I practice health and safety, and I try to be as healthy as possible. I'm 40 years old now, man, but I'm looking like I'm 22, you know? I'm sorry, I'm just Asian. I'm just that way. I'm sorry, guys, if I offend anybody out there, if I look too good. But, hey, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Shaving once a month? Sorry, I had to go there now. I had to get one in at least before the night's over. Well, very cool. There was another question. Chris, what was the other question that we had?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. The chat room's going crazy.
Somebody wanted to know if anybody's ever turtled one of those things.
I have came very close to losing my life, and I got it on video. I'm sure everybody would love to see me almost get hurt.
Okay.
Let me tell you about it. Last year, we went to Corpus Christi. We had a blast out there. We caught tons of cobia. We caught a bunch of red snapper, tons of spadefish and triggerfish. The video is actually on YouTube. It's under... my channel called DPHAMS, DPHAMS, and the video is called Poseidon's. The video is called Poseidon's Wrath, and that's I named it that for a reason because we got caught in this crazy storm that popped out of nowhere. I mean, the day was flat, everything was nice, sunny. You can hear the birds and the bees singing offshore and everything. And all of a sudden, Mr. Storm comes up like the Grinch out of Halloween night. And we're like, oh, we're just having so much fun catching fish. And we're like, oh, that thing would never get us. And we're like, okay, it's getting real close. Let's get out of here. Coast Guard's getting on the radio, on the VHF, warning everybody, all the small boats, please go in. Is there anybody out there? Get away from this storm. And we're like, oh, nah, we ignore it. But, we got caught in it we're already heading in. We got caught in it about almost 2 miles from shore, and we had to make an emergency beach landing. It was the scariest time I ever had. It was crazy. The water and waves went really high, like 5 to 6 feet high, and the day from bright daylight to pitch dark, heavy rain, it was crazy. It is in that video. I would never do that again.
I was going to ask that question because, and I mentioned this too at the top of the show. You guys have what do you got here? We got 4 YouTube channels. You got a couple blog sites. So I don't know which one to share with everybody, but I did put up the DFAMS.
Here's the videos. Here's the YouTube channels by date. The DFAMS was the first starter one. And then it was Beyond the Breakers, and then it was Ivory Dagger, and now it is the one that we are putting everything into, all our blood and sweat and tears, in the Adventure Islanders YouTube channel.
Okay. So we put up your your links. We put up your main website, which would be the Adventure Islanders link, correct?
Correct, yes.
So you can get everywhere from there, I've noticed, on the website.
Right.
What else? What else you got? What's coming up? What can we look for in the future? I know there's got to be something going on besides for somebody saving some money to buy some good equipment. We'll talk about that on another show.
I finally got into my senses and got some good equipment, believe it or not. But anyways, we have a lot of things planned in the future. We plan on doing a long sail down the ICW intercoastal waters from one city to another. We plan on doing that and videotaping it one day. We have a Corpus Christi Blue Water Kingfish Tournament coming soon, August the 11th in Corpus Christi. We're going to be going there and videotaping that. Is there anything else, Efren, that we need to add in there?
Well, other than, you know, future planning trips that we're planning on doing, other than that, like you said, just the Blue Water Classic, which is a kingfish tournament, and we're thinking about doing these a long sailing trip down the ICW from one city to another. We haven't determined that yet. And the website right now, it's a current, it's just a ongoing work in progress. The blog that's up there, that might go away. We're just kind of testing the waters with what reader, you know, what content readers want to see. And, of course, since this is the first year that we've actually put up a website, I think maybe when the winter time comes around and we start to slow down as far as the fishing, we'll be updating more of some of these, you know, things that we learned this year and stories to share and so forth. That'll be up on there from this year, because right now, being summertime and the fishing, and I've got side projects and then work and the video editing that I'm doing and so forth, that, you know, it just keeps us occupied, and it's kind of hard to keep the website up to date. So as time goes forward and we slow down on the fishing, we'll be updating that website with more stuff, with more information. And so if people want to get into this Adventure Island stuff, or even want to just come in and just, you know, just follow us, you know, you can also join the forums and chat with us, you know, send a message, send us emails. So go there, check it out, and stay informed. And if you want to get into it, you're welcome to stop by and learn more about it and ask your questions.
Very cool. All right. I got some more questions here, Bill. Are you guys good? We got about a half an hour left. You good down there? You got another drink?
We are
drink,
all good.
Whatever it is.
We're all good in the hood, in the Virginia hood, Katy hood, and what sound size sound you on? Beaumont? Freeport, whatever, where are you at, Efren?
Yo,
you can go over there, too.
Oh, this is pretty funny. I probably shouldn't make fun. I guess Rob Choi just posted on Facebook that he had an awesome time doing yoga with his wife for the last hour. That's why he's not here.
Oh, damn.
Poor
came
guy.
Right on radio. Well, speaking of wives, that was a question. Do you guys, I don't know if you're married or whatever, but if you are, or girlfriends, do either of them go with you if you're married, or did your significant other go with you? Do they go out on the water and fish?
Well, Efren likes to take guys. No, just kidding. Yeah, I'm married, but I don't take my wife. She gets seasick, so I take my kids. I got three boys, and my oldest is 14.
Cool.
My oldest is 14, and I take him. So, Efren, who do you take?
Well, the last time I went on a date, actually, that's where I took the girl out on a date. I actually took her out for a ride in the Adventure.
Are you still together? Y'all still together? Everything good?
No, it was just a one-time date. And, yeah, we hang out every now and then. We see each other, but it ain't nothing serious.
All right. Somebody else, what was the other question? Oh, we asked that. I'm scratching down questions because the chat room's flying so fast. I can't keep up with everything going on. The question was, you guys familiar with the milk crate?
Yes.
All right. So we've kind of been, we stole a little piece of the milk crates world, and we've been asking people what's in their crate. So basically, what's in your kayak? What's something that you guys will not, besides for your safety equipment, which I applaud, but besides for that, what do you not leave the beach without having with you? One thing.
Well, Efren is milking milk crate. I don't like milk crates, but he loves it. He milks it. He has to have it on his kayak for some reason. Go ahead, Efren.
Well, like Daniel said, I'm the only one that has a milk crate. Daniel does not. And, of course, in mine, of course, it's I use waterproof, waterproof plain old boxes to keep my lures and hooks and keep them nice and dry. So, because I've had, previously I had some other, other tackle boxes that were just not waterproof. And, you know, when that stuff sits in salt water and you take it home and you got to take the time to clean it off, eventually it just, eventually it all rusts. So the waterproof boxes kind of help keep your stuff, looking good and staying functional.
Very cool. So, Daniel, there's nothing that you just go, right? As long as you got your PFD, your radio, you're good, and your Zebco 33
reel. As long as I have my PFD, my radio, my Fruit of the Looms bloomers on, I'm good to go, man. I am good to go. Now, we both have a thing called roll bars. What we put on our Adventure Islands and Tandem Islands, they're called roll bars. We build them out of PVC plastic. The reason why we build these roll bar things is to keep the sail line in check so it doesn't fling our rods and reels out whenever the wind shifts direction. And if a rod or reel is back in the back rod holder, the molded-in rod holder without the roll bars, what the sail line will do is pick it up and fling it out, and there goes your rod and reel. That's what happened to me. My custom rod and reel went, boop, bye-bye.
Now, wait a minute. You got a custom rod and reel, but you didn't spend any money on gear. You're telling stories, man.
Now, this was when I first started, and I had a bay. I was in the bay, actually. I was in the ICW, and I had my friend built me a bay rod, and I had the cheap reel with it. And that just went, poof. The wind changed direction, and it picked up my rod, and it just took it right out. After that day, I told Efren, let's build a roll bar.
Very cool. See, you're also designing things. I had another question I just lost. Anyway, very cool.
That's so funny.
That's funny.
I'm not saying it right now. You're just going to have to see this later.
Okay.
Wow.
It is the part of the show, guys. And I always feel bad for, and I always say this, I always feel bad for the people who podcast our show because half of the stuff that goes on is what's going on during the chat room, and then we all play into it. So for everybody that's podcasted the show, I apologize for us laughing and what's going on, but I'm glad sometimes that the chat room can't be podcasted because we probably wouldn't have a show any longer if people were to download half the stuff they saw in the chat room. All right, guys, so we're going to keep you in our little book of friends because we want to have you back on. We want you to definitely, anytime you got something cool going on, upcoming event, when you guys get new videos out, if you don't want to be on the show, at least please send me an email, send me a link to what you're doing. We want to keep up because, like I said, I have no interest to sail around the Atlantic Ocean fishing, but watching you guys and keeping up with it was very cool. I watched your videos this week, and it's very interesting, so we want to be able to stay in touch, and whenever you got something new coming on or whatever it may be, please share it with us, and we'll share it with our listeners.
All right, we'd be glad
awesome,
to.
Awesome. Go ahead, Efren. You got it?
Yeah, we'd be.
Well, cool. I appreciate that. All right, this is my last question I always ask to my guests, so I'll start with you, Efren. What's the bucket fish for you? What would be the one species, no matter what that you'd like to catch yet, that you haven't caught yet?
I haven't caught yet out of this particular vessel would be a sailfish. At least out of the Gulf, But I think it would be sailfish.
Sailfish. All right, Daniel, you got all your new equipment, you're ready to roll. What's the fish that you want to catch? It doesn't have to be right there in your waters in Texas. Same was for you, Efren. What's a species out there that you really want to catch?
Well, Efren stole my species because he knew I was going to say it because he just likes to do like those things to me. But if I was to be out there and have a goal, it would probably be a Goliath grouper. Yes, Goliath, a grouper.
That would be a good fight in the kayak. Wow.
Do
you
actually,
have Goliath
like
in the Gulf
is,
over there?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Do you?
Yep. Actually, what I would like to do, which I wouldn't mind doing even before I catch the sailfish, I wouldn't mind either going to the East Coast or going over to Louisiana and catching a tuna and right on the boat, right on the Adventure Island, sashimi the thing, and have me some sushi on the kayak.
Right there on the spot.
Right there on the spot.
Yummy!
So you don't get any tuna at your rate? You don't get any tuna in your neck of the Gulf?
We do. I mean, you go to a sushi restaurant and you go to the store and pick up tuna, you know.
I got you. Well, very cool. All right, guys. Well, like I said, please stay in touch with us. You're friends of the show, so don't be strangers.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We'd be glad to come back anytime.
All right. Very cool. And like I said, just keep us up to date on what's going on with you two down there. And Efren, we'll talk after the show, and we'll see what we can do about getting your boy there some real fishing equipment, too.
All right.
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having us. It was an honor, even though I was, you know, just trying to be myself. But I was trying to really tone myself down, but I'm toning myself down right now. I'm gripping my grips and trying to just talk like a normal human being. But every time I'm on camera or something, I don't know, I'm just not that person. And I'm trying to be. So
you don't
I
have
appreciate
to change yourself
it.
For us. We want the real one.
This, okay. What's up, guys? We appreciate all that you do and we do. So you get with your folks so we can get with y'all folks and we can just folk it up. You know what I'm saying?
Let's folk it up. Like I said, the invite stands. Come on out to the boondoggle and we'll make sure Rob Choi is going to be here so you guys can have a little family reunion or something.
All right. We all can go to the boondocks.
That's right. Boondoggle it up with your folk. Well, very cool. Well, guys, thank you for taking your Tuesday night out and spending it with us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you.
They're on the site. All right, guys. Take care.
Okay. Per special request, I have a button here for our friend Tommy Vanderheiden.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I push it? Can I?
Go ahead.
Are you ready, Tom? Wait for it.
That's an inside. That's an inside joke. That's very funny. Hey, Joe, your girlfriend's calling. Oh man, that is too good. That is too good right there. Yeah, you guys. Sorry, guests, you weren't in, but we went to this event. I'll tell the story real quick. We went to an event this weekend. Great bunch of people that are going to put on some Wounded Warrior Heroes Underwater events coming up, and this lady has a 70-some acre farm slash, what she have, two or three fishing lakes, ponds on there. But
she's
she also raises
ponds.
All.
They look like lakes to me, but okay.
Yeah. Anyway, she has all kind of livestock on her grounds, and she had sheep out there. And one of our listeners put up a picture of the sheep and said it was another one of our buddies' girlfriend was hanging out at the event this weekend, and it was a big sheep. So that just totally played into it. That was very good, Chris. That was funny. Now Joe's getting a little upset. So with that, now that we're firing up our listeners, we better get out of here while we still got some people tuning in. So thank you guys again for joining us tonight. Thank you all of our listeners. Thank you for everybody who's podcasting this show. Next week, we're going to have another Texas kayaker on, Ty Sutherland, 30 miles out. So you guys go check out some of his stuff. That'll be our guest next weekend. And then the following Tuesday, we're going to have Bo Beasley on. This is going to be a pretty good topic. So I'm going to start putting up links to that, but it's about the, all of our waterways getting shut down, about a certain kayak angler who got arrested just for drifting down a river because he happened to go through somebody's private land. They thought they owned the water too. But anyway, it's going to be a good night for that show. I'm really looking forward to that. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night, Mark Wheeler. Thursday night, Chip Gibson, who's in here tonight. I think Chip's still with us, the godfather, as we call him, the one who started this whole crazy kayak fishing radio thing, and then bring it back around Monday for Redfish Chuck. So with that being said, I'm not going to make it much longer. Remember, plan your fish, fish your plan. Chris, get us out of here.
Remember, safety, safety, safety. Take your children fishing. They're our next generation anglers. Tight lines, everybody, no matter where you're fishing. Good night.